Pro football season will begin.
The NFL, once again,
is always heavily anticipated. The kickoff to the NFL season.
That round thing with the pointy ends, that's the ball. You got to get it down to the other end of the field.
How can I handle work on a day like today?
Football, catch the fever.
Let's get ready for football!
TSN 1200.
Probably fitting that, he passed away 25 years ago. In fact, but born in 1918. The man who helped make the NFL what it is today, the behemoth that it is, was built on the back of a lot of betting. And who is the first name, if you go back into your time machine, when you think of betting and the National Football League? Simmer, you're old enough to remember. Who's the first name that comes to mind?
Jimmy the Greek?
Jimmy the Greek Snyder.
Yeah.
Was born on this day in 1918.
Yeah, had a tough exodus from CBS football, but at that time it was all about him, Irv Cross, Brent Musburger, and
Jane Kennedy.
Jane Kennedy, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, was there another show? And what is cool, I think Jim Nantz still wears Brent Musburger's blazer when he does the CBS broadcast.
Hello, friends.
Like that, when I first did, I did 2 years of television for the Washington Capitals. We'd wear this.
Did you have one of those jackets?
Well, yeah, but it was funny because it was just an insert that went in your pocket that said WB50. There was the road games, and I just think back to that. That was considered to be, and we don't have to look any further than our tremendous CBC orange jackets from back in the day. And I'll also say somehow it's come around. That baby blue hockey night in Canada is actually a real solid look. Hey?
How about the yellow Pro Football Hall of Fame jacket?
Yeah.
You seen that one?
Oh, yeah.
They're all very unique looks.
Yeah, yeah, they are. But it was, you know, the back in the day, it was a big thing to wear a singular blazer, right? Where I think Nats. Mm. Are we getting Jimbo and Tony tonight?
No, it would be Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth.
Okay,
I believe.
Okay,
it's an
that's
NBC
fine.
Game.
That's fine.
Yeah,
and don't be putting his son in there because I have no idea when they're talking which one is which. Like, no, seriously.
Yeah.
Hey, when they filled in the one day there, that was incredible. They're good, but nothing like Jimbo and
Romo's your man, eh?
Well, I enjoy
He's
it.
Dialed
for sure.
Back the predicting of the next play.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I think drove a lot of people nuts.
Yeah.
I mean, it was very impressive when he first started. His ability, based on the way that people lined up to diagnose what play was coming.
For sure.
I think for some people, they were like, okay, I want to tell me what happened after it happened.
Oh,
don't tell
true.
Me what's going to happen based on how they're lined up.
I just love his energy, JR.
Yes.
You know, and again, football, I find, and I'm watching it yesterday with Maddie, some of the highlights, and I just made the comment to him, it's just incredible. I'd never played it, but to design a play, like in hockey, you go out and you make a play, but you kind of improvise, right? When you do a power
hockey,
play.
Hockey is a game of a lot of randomness.
Very much so. Like a power play has some predictability to it, reacting off the penalty kill. Everything else is a flow. Every single play on how the guard pulls and what happens to work in concert together, to hear people, to my point, explain it. And I just find with him, don't you find his energy's incredible?
Yes.
Like he just feels like it's so sincere and he's having fun and probably having more fun than he did when he was part of the Dallas Cowboys. We're under that pressure. So that's the part I guess I enjoy, is that there's just an energy there that's excellent.
All right, so look forward to the NFL season kicking off. We'll have tonight's game, Cowboys and Buccaneers, for you right after our coverage of the women's tennis semifinal. Layla Annie Fernandez, we'll have it for you at 7 o'clock. Football game kicks off at 8:20. Kenny Albert will join us, one of the voices of the NFL on Fox, at about 8:45 or so this morning. We'll look ahead to the coming season. We have not touched on this, brought up in my sports update, Sidney Crosby. For the what look based on timelines, at least for the start of the coming hockey season. He's been dealing with a left wrist injury, according to Ron Hextall, for a long time. And this was one that through the course of the summer, the off season, they were hoping just with time that it would resolve itself. They have come to the conclusion, as training camp is set to begin here, that it is not going to be good enough. So he went under the knife yesterday, had surgery, which, according to the Penguins timeline, says he'll be out 6 weeks.
Yeah.
The NHL season kicks off in about 5 weeks, so could drift into the beginning of the regular season. But this is he's getting to an age now, and he's you know, once he got past all the concussion issues, and that boy threatened his career at
one point for a
couple of seasons. Yeah. He has been relatively healthy,
absolutely.
I think it's fair to say.
Yeah.
He is just turned 34 years old, but this, we're getting to an age now, even in the great shape he keeps himself in, where the bumps and bruises just start to catch up. Father time starts to catch up. And unfortunately for Sidney Crosby, caught up to him too.
Yeah, and I imagine, JR, however this happened, you know, do you get slash? Is it a break? As much as well, you want to keep yourself in shape, as any athlete knows, and any person, you also reach an age when that rigorous training starts to take a bit of a toll. And would you agree, from a Pittsburgh Penguins standpoint, they're also headed back into this valley of, like, I don't consider them to be a Stanley Cup contender. It's more a question of there's nothing in their system. They're headed into the post-Mario days, and as we know, for that franchise, has not fared very well.
That's okay, because they'll end up with, there'll be some phenom in about 2 years, and they'll end up with the number one pick.
That's true. Could end up being, but it, you know, for a franchise that's been bankrupt a couple of times, I don't think there's a ton of excitement going to that market. And like most American market share, when you go there, as much as the Penguins are good,
it's all about winning.
I was going to say it's all about the Steelers. When you drive in, man, like, you would swear, and it's not a big place, but everything is talking about who's starting for the Steelers and what's happening. And when the Penguins are real good, you know, they're in a pretty good spot, as are the Pirates, but it's all about the National Football League.
Oh, I thought it was, according to all the broadcasters, it was all about the Burlington Coat Factory outlet.
Well, that are per Manny's brothers going for the nice sandwich,
with
the French fries on top.
Yeah. And what's the name of the bar that has got frog in the name of it?
Froggies, yeah.
Froggies, there you go. Yeah. I went to a game.
Does it have frog in the name of it?
Well, I don't remember. I went to a game in Pittsburgh once.
No, yeah.
I don't remember how crappy the Penguins were. This would be pre-Crosby, and I was there, and I may have been inebriated.
That's fine.
We may have met some members of the Penguins in the back somehow, but I don't remember who it is or any timeline.
Well, Froggy's there was the three-level bar, right, Jer? Where you went around.
I don't even remember.
You went up to the roof. Rod Woodson had a real good sports bar. That was my post-game hangout, and at the time I pretended to be the third goaltender when I was actually traveling and fairly young. So
How far did that get you?
Oh, very.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, to the disappointment of some of the players who were in the same market as me. Oh, yeah. They were like, what the hell is going on here? I love that city, though. I always thought this
was very underrated city.
Yeah, from a sports standpoint, and a whole lot of fun. And just about everybody that is in Pittsburgh is from there, right? And they are real proud. And the other thing that is just ginormous, whether it's University of Pittsburgh, University of West Virginia, like high school football, as you know, in the state of Pennsylvania, Penn State, like, it is off the charts. But you talk about Friday night football.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. When I went to the campus of Penn State, I told this story before. First of all, the rink that Pegula's built there is just, it's like a mini NHL rink. It's so good. But then where the Penn State Nittany Lions play football, it's over 100,000.
I know.
And I was there on a Saturday in the fall when the football team was on the road.
Okay.
So it was empty.
Yeah.
And so the acres of parking lots around, it's just, those college towns are so, it's just all about the university.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
There really is, when people talk about that, there really is nothing else, to the point of, I'm standing in the empty parking lot waiting for a hockey game to start with this 108,000 seat empty stadium right beside me. It's the Saturday afternoon at 3 o'clock and I'm looking out and literally like, it seemed like 200 yards away is a farmer's field and a barn and a bunch of corn right beside this 100,000-seat stadium.
Yeah.
It is carved out of the middle of farmland in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, almost build it and they'll come, JR. What's also cool is that they don't want any fancy parking, right? There's no one of this, hey, can you get me closer? Can you get me underneath?
There's no valet there.
No, the whole experience is tailgating, though, right?
I get there Friday.
Oh, my God, I want to park. I want to bring everything in. I want to be excited. Now, I've never been. Like, are you literally driving in the middle of nowhere and then you arrive at this town?
Well, you're on a, I don't know, I don't think it was an interstate, but it was a four-lane kind of highway.
Okay,
so.
Okay.
But yeah, and the town is, I think it's College, what's it called? I'm trying to remember. It's not College Park, whatever the name of the town is.
I know what you're saying.
It's very small. But the football camp, that's what it is. The whole town revolves, the industry is people who work at the university.
Very much.
That's all that's there. And it's just amazing. Like, when you leave, you can drive for a long time and not see anything but the odd farm. That's it. It's really, and that was when I was there. It was 2016. I will remember that.
Yeah.
That drive. So my daughter was playing hockey. So she had played in Rochester at RIT, and then they played the next day at Penn State.
Yeah.
So I drove from Rochester, New York, to whatever that place in Western Pennsylvania is.
College State.
Yeah, three or
State College.
Three or 4 hours.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm traveling through, you know, a lot of backwater areas. I'll call it that. That's when I found out how big Donald Trump was getting. This was just before the election.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Well, just
yeah.
in that area. Yeah. Literally, you would pass every house had a huge Trump sign and an American flag. And it was kind of like, that's when it dawned on me that this guy could win the election just based on what I'm seeing.
Yeah.
Posted on the outside of people's houses.
Yeah, and how big he was rurally and then not big in Philadelphia. And I think a big push of that is always farmers, but it was a big thing on the coal industry, right? And that city, because I've never been there, is, you know, it's literally in the middle of nowhere. It's about, what, 3 hours east of Pittsburgh and about 5 west of Philadelphia. So literally, and as you say, for these towns, it's like a self-sufficient city, right? The kids now that go to college, certainly they have meal programs, but the wealth that is in a college, they have the ability materialistic to shop, to go and support restaurants, to basically create a mini industry that is funded off of most people's parents.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey? Yeah. Anyway, back to what kicked it off, which was Sidney Crosby and the injury and the inevitable decline.
We did the history of Central Pennsylvania.
And Donald Trump's rise to power. See?
Well done, gentlemen.
Thank you.
That's a new one.
Yeah. Well, we've traveled down, we've gone down darker roads than that and weirder roads for sure. To bring it back to discussion on the Penguins, and you're absolutely right, it feels like they're heading into a dark place. But they won their division last year. I mean, they somehow, some way, I think Malkin was hurt for part of last year. He always seems to be hurt.
Yeah.
Letang always seems he's playing on one leg.
Yeah.
The goaltending was questionable last year for sure.
Yeah, great point.
Crosby keeps that team competitive.
Well, he you know, again, you hear the stories about Nate McKinn and the accountability, just to mention the ability, how hard he works. And yeah, I mean, you still have some other pieces with Gensel, and that's not funny when you say that. Now, Cody Ceci's been removed, a few other pieces. I'll actually go have to brush up on my cap-friendly depth chart of the Pittsburgh Penguins, JR. So I'm trying to actually recall who the hell's on the team these days.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Gord Wilson with a quick update via text on Froggies in Pittsburgh. Yeah. No longer with us, unfortunately. But said, serve the worst drinks in North America.
Really?
And Gord would know.
Oh, no. That's a veteran. And one of the things that Gord should do, or a lot of scouts have talked about for years, JR, and it wasn't meant in a social sense, they just thought about, for people that have traveled the way Gord has. Now, Gord, a little different when you're on a charter, but if you're traveling around, just giving tips to people on how to get around, right? I mean, when I first started traveling to Europe and you're going into Finland and Jack Button would say to me, well, now that you got to take the bus downtown, which I said, no, I'm going to take a taxi. But anyways, getting around these cities and really knowing all the things that are going on is a real cool experience. So I'm sure Gord, going back to 93, you start to see a lot of things turn over, JR, just like you do here in Ottawa. But
it's coming up to 30 years.
Well, when Gord first went and the Caps or the Caps Center, you're playing in the old igloo. You're in a new building. How many buildings would Gord have seen in his career would be pretty incredible, right?
For sure.
Like, what would be existing in the National Hockey League from 1993 from a building standpoint? Islanders have finally shipped out.
Yeah, Saddle Dome, or whatever it's called these days.
Absolutely, because that goes back to the 80s.
Well, obviously, Madison Square has been completely redone, but still the same place.
Yeah, to the point that, that's a bit of a discussion. Devils have moved long ago. Philadelphia's moved from that time. Pittsburgh's into a new building. Yeah. You've had new franchises come along that have started, but you started out with Tampa, a different one. Gosh, you'd
Has
have
Anaheim
to.
Always been in the same building? They started with Ottawa.
They have, for sure. Good point. Yeah, that's a good one. San Jose started in the same building.
It becomes a very short list for sure.
Yeah, very absolutely. Much so. Very much so.
Hockey birthdays today. Quickly run through those. Keith Yandel, I still on that streak, right? He got sat out in the playoffs, but if he ends up playing, he's over 900, and I think the record is 964 from Doug Jarvis, right?
Yeah.
Did he sign in Boston?
No,
Dallas.
That was a rumor, right? And
where did he end up signing? Speaking of not keeping up,
I'm totally blanking. Because
remember Keith Yandel?
Because I remember the rumors were Boston to bring him back, and people were like, no, not a chance. Latest rumors are kind of swirling around PK Subban, which I find hard to believe.
In Boston?
Well, yeah, or I've even heard, and this would be, and I said to someone this morning, I think Leslie Roberts, his daughter runs PK's foundation. I said, oh, he'll end up signing in Toronto next year. This would be a classic Toronto Maple Leafs move where PK comes back home.
He has moved on to the Philadelphia Flyers.
Oh, that's right. That's right. With Chuck Fletcher. That's right. That's they've reshaped their defense.
What's his streak at? Does it say in the story you're reading?
Does not say.
I think he just got a little over 900. So if he were to play all the games this year, he'll break the record.
He's got 922 consecutive regular season games.
Yeah. So he's got 42 to go.
Yeah, and incredible with him. Like, if you never make contact with anybody, JR, that gives you the ability to play more games.
And that's what you want in a defenseman.
Oh
right?
Yeah, no. Yeah. He disappears. It was funny last year when he got sat out. That turned into a big story. They're about to sit him out on opening night.
That's right.
And there's Ulfie.
And then he ended up playing the whole season.
Well, exactly. There's Ulfie Samuelson, who had him in New York and Arizona, who doesn't like him. And Keith, at the time, remember Yorkie talking about, there was a time he was one hell of a hockey player. He's just not an overly physical guy, but certainly very gifted.
Keith Yandle, 35. Matty Olin, former Vancouver Canuck, 45. Kevin Hatcher, 55.
Wow.
Years old today. The legendary, one of the legendary Hatcher brothers that you know from your Washington days.
Yeah.
He or Darian could pound more beers in a single sitting.
Well, no, Big Hatch could do more than both of them.
The dad?
No.
Oh.
I played with Mark Hatcher. So Mark Hatcher was 6'9". All three of them played in North Bay for Burt Templeton. Problem with Big Hatch is he drank 24/7, and he was considered to be a tough guy. Couldn't skate, couldn't play. We played with him in the American League for a bit. So Big Hatch, sister very close as well.
Oh,
dad very strong. Sister was a volleyball player. Like I said.
So the five of them collectively.
Oh, yeah.
If they were to live in Ottawa, go across the river and pick up those.
What's a weekend caseload?
70 packs of Coors Light. For $55 or whatever they were.
Well, that'd just be an appetizer. You'd have to fill up your entire truck. And this is a problem. All of a sudden, Kevin Hatcher showed up in Dallas with Darian. Next to Big Hatch, Mark and Dad and the sister were all down. They just hung out and were drinking beer. All of a sudden, Darian wasn't playing very well. They're like, we got to get rid of this guy. And they're like, Mario hates this Russian defenseman. He's too soft and he doesn't listen.
Oh, no.
So they flipped him for Zubov. And that was when they got out from underneath of giving us Mark Tenorti for the Big Hatch. And as far as Mr. Olin, that's also one of my favorite stories, because when he first turned pro, little soft, a little bit of a Swedish guy, we get the call. You know what? We're thinking about, this is Vancouver, Pat Quinn talking to George McPhee, wouldn't mind flipping Noel Olin out, and I'd like to bring back a local boy. And George says to me, we could do this for Nolan Baumgartner. I'm like, you got to be kidding. Like,
You guys were all over Nolan Baumgartner's next Bobby Orr.
Nolan is way better than this guy. Olin went on to play 300 years and Nolan 10 games. But
another example of why Simmer is sitting beside me today.
Exactly.
Hey, listen, they all get some wrong over the years, right? Nobody's perfect.
Nobody's turned into a great coach. I had Scott Cherry, second round pick. He's been a referee. Doesn't matter what avenue. The Caps drafted me in the third round to go into management chair. As long as you're successful, that's all that matters.
Doesn't matter if it's on the ice.
Exactly.
All right, 8:32. Kenny Albert's coming on to talk some NFL with us in about 10 or 15 minutes from now as we continue along here on this Thursday morning. Kickoff to the new NFL season. We got a big tennis day ahead today and much more here on Sports Radio TSN 1200. Kevin on this Thursday morning. J.R. Simmer and Hammer. Kenny Albert's coming up. Talk NFL with us in about 10 minutes or so from now. Justin, look who's landed on his feet with an invite to an NHL training camp.
I'm not dead yet.
Artie Anisimov, the Artie Party is going to Colorado. How about that? Artem Anisimov has a professional tryout with the Colorado Avalanche. Of course, spent last season here in Ottawa, played some, sat out a lot. Yeah. Didn't really seemingly accomplish a whole heck of a lot, but he's got a tryout with the Avalanche.
Yeah, and strong starter. Had a great training camp last year, JR.
Best of his career.
Yeah. Didn't translate well.
No, unfortunately.
Would you say either the high or the low point was him stepping on the ice for the 3-on-3?
No, when he put the goalie gear on.
Oh, no, that too. But
was there not a comment that he was the best player at camp?
Yes.
Did DJ mention that?
No.
Or Pierre?
Oh, no, everybody was. Yeah. I mean, he was just light. Like, I couldn't believe the shape he was in.
Colin White was the talk of the early part of training camp. And then by the time the scrimmage rolled around, he was on the B team.
He faded.
And Artie Anisimov was on the A team. So.
Now, again, very difficult when you're on the ice. Maybe with COVID, they didn't have evaluators last year. Because, it can be tough from on the ice at times. Because when we turned on our television, it told us different that Artie was no longer. And there was a guy at a point, was one hell of an NHL player, but not the case when he came here to Ottawa.
So we'll see with that. I mean, you're talking about what many people would consider to be the Stanley Cup favorite going into the coming season, but everybody's looking for cheap depth, I should say, and a veteran One would think that he wouldn't necessarily make the team, but potentially an option to come in should they suffer injuries, etc.
Well, and you're running into that spot, JR, right, where they're starting to now lose some bodies based on the cap. You're pretty much looking at anything just to come in, whether or not can be some free depth for you. So, yeah.
All right, so Artie Anisimov, professional tryout with the Colorado Avalanche. That just in. Now, speaking of the Sens, his former team, they'll begin a development camp coming up on Saturday. Many players arriving in town or have already or are about to. Saw some pictures. Igor Sokolov making his way from the East Coast on his way. Shane Pinto was on with us yesterday. He's going to arrive tomorrow. Camp starts on Saturday, as I mentioned. Sens Chief Scout Trent Mann talking yesterday about the importance of this short development camp.
For our staff to get to know these players a little bit better, I mean, obviously, you know, Zoom and phone calls are great, but you know, to get your, you know, get face to face with someone and spend a little bit of time where you're not, you know, on the run for your next phone call or your next Zoom call or their next workout, whatever their case may be, I think it's important to start developing those relationships so we can better help in their development plans and for them to feel more comfortable with the people that are helping you in that, you know, moving forward in their development.
When you think about the craziness of the last 18 months with the pandemic and the lack of FaceTime between key members of the organization and many of its top prospects, I mean, he speaks to it right there. Yeah. I mean, it is going to be an opportunity for them to, especially the kids that either, you know, didn't play junior at all. Like you would think, I may be wrong in this, but let's just talk about some of the junior players, like that Ben Roger kid that they drafted in the second round from the London Knights, right? You know, he didn't play hockey this past year.
Yeah, he hasn't played a game in 18 months.
Worked out and gained 40 pounds. Yeah. That was kind of his story.
Yeah.
Trent Mann may have never met him face-to-face.
Yeah.
They might have talked over Zoom.
No, great point.
Right? This would be a first opportunity for a lot of for Pierre Dorion, perhaps, to meet for DJ Smith to meet these players in person for the first time.
Yeah, and for Troy and Trent, man, part of the process, JR, and you're right. Now, a regional scout as an underage like Don Boyd, who lives in that area, might have met him, but that is. Now, what is also not tough, but different, when I first got drafted, you'd come to camp, we'd have rookie games, everything else. Well, one of the really nice things when you get drafted is an 18-year-old bringing him in, working with Chris Schwartz, but also sending him home for the rest of the summer and saying, hey, here's what we want to see before training camp. Well, if there's mistakes in your conditioning now, as we know, now there's less and less of that, JR, there's no chance to recover. But it is getting to know the habits, getting a feel, a little evaluation, and making the part of the organization. And the real unfortunate is that some of the college kids, although for Sanderson, you know, not a big deal. He's been here before. Clevin, yes. For Boucher, just to get a little bit more familiar with the program. And for Pierre Maguire, hey, this is where you're diving in. And it is all about the relationships of the kids and what is so different with Sean Donovan and Jesse Winchester now. Hey, guys traveling around, right? I mean, you're under the constant watch. And what this also does, JR, for a young player, it puts you on the watch, right? You no longer used to be, well, man, I didn't know I wasn't supposed to eat all that cake. And, you know, I didn't know how to work out. Nothing is there anymore. You are on the clock. They know what to expect of you. You have to start improving and start learning. That's the whole part of the process. And for the first year guys, it starts now.
In terms of, you mentioned the three college kids, all of whom will not be at development camp, will not be among the 24 players who will be here in Ottawa. There is a lot of keen interest on where the game of Igor Sokolov is at. He kind of came out of nowhere in his first pro year last year with Belleville. Yeah. I mean, prorated, would have scored over 30 goals as I guess, 20-year-old, because he was a double overager when he was drafted. All that to say, first pro hockey season.
Yeah.
He performed very well. Here's a Trent Mann on Sokolov's development.
He wants to be an NHL player, and he's going to continue working at that to be an NHL player. And, you know, our staff got to see that firsthand last year. And, you know, that's why everyone is excited for this kid. And everyone has taken such a liking to this kid, because how could you not be excited for him and not be cheering for him? And that's what he's done for the staff as well. Like, they, you know, they can't do enough to help him, because you know, he reaches out and he wants to be, you know, he wants to have a solution, and he's part of the solution. And, you know, for us, it's an easy one to help him get there.
With the trading of Dadonov, there is a hole potentially at right wing for the Ottawa Senators.
Yeah.
You think it's realistic that he's got a potential to make the team this year?
I don't know, JR. I would say no, just that he's raw enough. I don't think they force it. They've been good with it, but I watched a little bit. I was surprised for a 20-year-old at the skating. I've made comparisons to Guillaume Latendresse in a positive way. But what's neat, JR, I'll call this an immigration story. Like, when you talk about him when he came back, the draft night in the pink suit and the Billet family, how humble the beginnings were from a very poor place in Russia where he grew up to coming through. Like, this is what you're asking for, not only as a hockey player, as a human being, somebody that has arrived here and is thankful for everything they're given. And when you mix in what he showed me last year, and if you tell me he's also got a work ethic, well, you've got one hell of a player and what's going to be probably a handful to handle in the National Hockey League. So I would just want to get to camp, JR, to really see where he's at, because I watched a little bit on TV. But what I do know is he is going to be a nice NHL player here at some point.
Yeah, and one of the things the Sens have been good at, as you mentioned, is biding their time with prospects and not forcing it. If he's not ready, he's not ready.
Yeah.
Would not be the worst thing in the world for him to spend another year down in Belleville with Troy Mann and company. Okay, 8:45. We're going to turn our attention now to what people are really jonesing about in the immediacy of today, which is the start of the National Football League season. It all kicks off tonight down in Tampa. The Buccaneers hosting the Cowboys, a marquee week one matchup. But mention that there are five games coming up on Sunday, which are matchups of teams that made the playoffs last year. So it'll be an immediate test, including the Indianapolis Colts and Carson Wentz taking on the Seattle Seahawks. The man who will call the game from the NFL on Fox and close personal friend to Sean Simpson, we say good morning on the Gabriel Pizza Hotline to Kenny Albert. How are you doing this morning, Kenny?
I'm great, guys. How are you?
Excellent, thanks. Appreciate the time. You're going to be going into, I'm presuming that Indy will be no different than every other venue, full buildings. You broadcast a lot of football games last year in empty stadiums or maybe partially filled stadiums. What is that going to be like for you to be back in a full stadium come Sunday?
Well, it'll be great. You're right. Last year, during the NFL season, there were a number of empty buildings, some buildings with 5,000 or 8,000 or 10,000. We had one game in Dallas. They had over 30,000 for that one late in the season. But it was different. It was surreal. It was bizarre working games in empty stadiums, whether NFL or NHL or NBA. But, a lot of excitement with Dallas and Tampa Bay getting things started tonight. And I'll actually be in Indianapolis the first 2 weeks. We have Seattle and the Colts this Sunday, and then the Rams and Colts next Sunday, so should be a lot of fun.
Kenny, does it feel like almost back to normal? I mean, I think we realize the reports of COVID aren't, but as far as sports, does this feel like 2 years ago?
You know, in some ways, yes, and in some ways, no. There are still so many protocols out there, and of course, the health and safety of everybody involved, players, coaches, fans, media, is certainly of the utmost importance, and we still have to get tested once a week in order to be able to go into NFL facilities, and our crew will be heading to Colts practice tomorrow. So there are still a lot of reminders out there, obviously wearing masks on planes and, when you head into a restaurant or a hotel. So I don't think it feels totally like it did in 2019, but hopefully we're certainly getting there.
With Kenny Albert, Tom Brady was talking earlier this week, Kenny, that he thinks that the potential effects of COVID on players and player availability may actually be worse this year than last year, because under the current rules, players are allowed to kind of be out in the community and with their families a lot more than they were last year. Do you share that potential concern?
I guess it could. With the variant, we'll have to see what happens, but there were such stringent rules last year. This year, as you mentioned, as Tom Brady mentioned, for those who are vaccinated, the rules are a little different than they were last year. So we'll have to wait and see. I think for the most part, people are smart about it. But you do have a certain percentage of most teams, a small percentage, who are unvaccinated, and there are much more strict rules for those players. Really have to stay home, can't go anywhere. When they travel, when they're on the plane with their team, when they're in hotels, there are different rules. They're in different areas. So hopefully that's not the case, but we'll have to wait and see what happens. I know the league has also put in stricter rules as far as forfeits, and they don't want to be moving around games as much as they did last year. We had games on just about every day of the week. We had there was a Wednesday Pittsburgh-Baltimore game, and I think the league did a great job not having to extend the season, getting You know, every team was able to play 17 games, 16 games in the 17-week stretch last year.
Kenny, also intrigued to get your thoughts on Tom Brady and the number changes in the National Hockey League. First of all, his thoughts, but secondly, how does that affect broadcasters?
Yeah, it's interesting. I do the preseason games for the Washington football team, and we had a number of players with single-digit numbers. You know, for us, it just means, I guess, memorizing different numbers. Maybe a player's wearing 2 or 6 instead of 81. It does look a little different because you're so used to receivers having numbers in the 80s and linebackers in the 50s, for example. But for certain positions, they are allowing different numbers this year. And, you know, I guess it could affect a quarterback as well because you're so used to certain numbers and certain color schemes, for example. But, you know, I don't think it'll have a major effect on either players or broadcasters.
With Kenny Albert from the NFL on Fox, one of the other big changes, maybe the biggest change of all, is the addition of another regular season game. We're up to 17 now. What impact, if any, do you think that will have?
You know, I think it's great for the fans. In North America, there's nothing like you know, the NFL on a Sunday afternoon with millions and millions of viewers, and it's obviously appointment viewing, whether it's Sunday afternoon, Sunday night, Monday night, Thursday night, and it just gives everybody another week, whether it's rabid fans of teams, fantasy football players who participate. So, you know, I remember back in the 70s when I was young, it was 6 preseason games and 14 regular season games, as hard as that is to imagine now for some of the younger folks. And then it went to, obviously, 4 and 16, and this year 3 and 17. So I think, like I said, for the fans, it's great. It's one extra weekend of NFL football.
And Kenny, to that, you started out in the American Hockey League, so that's an affiliate to the NHL. I know they've expanded the practice roster to 16. Do you think we'll ever see a day where the National Football League might have some type of a farm system, or do you think they're happy with the system as it is now?
Well, we've had somewhat of a farm system, and I was lucky enough to head over to Europe and work some of the games back in the late 90s and early 2000s, NFL Europe, and that was a tremendous opportunity, not only for players, but coaches, officials, broadcasters. Kurt Warner played in that league, you know, when he was an obscure quarterback coming out of Northern Iowa. Jake Delhomme, who went on to have a long NFL career, and many, many others. So, you know, we'll see if it does get back to something like NFL Europe someday or a farm system in the United States. But they did expand the rosters and the practice squad. Like you said, they have 16 on the practice squad. It used to be 8. Not that long ago, 8 or 10. And also last year with COVID, and they're keeping some of these rules in place, which I think is a good thing. It gives more players an opportunity. They're now allowing teams to activate 2 players from the practice squad every week. The 53-man roster becomes a 55 for game day, and they're allowed to do that for any given player twice before having to put that player through waivers. So it does give players a little bit of an extra opportunity, and you have 16 on the practice squad. There are exemptions for European players. So, you know, it does give more guys an opportunity, and it gives the coaches an opportunity to see more players in game situations.
Kenny, injuries play a huge impact in all sports, but in particular in football. You lose a key player, a quarterback, you're pretty much done. The fact that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers won the Super Bowl and I think return all 22 starters, or maybe 21, but I think it's all 22 of their starters. How rare is that? And if they can remain healthy, a giant if, what impact does that have for them for the coming season?
You know, not only all 22 starters, but all of their coaches. Oftentimes when a team wins the Super Bowl, you see a coordinator leave, sometimes both. But the fact that they have that stability with all of their starters back and all of their coaches is a tremendous positive, and they went on the big run at the end of the season last year. Remember in November, you know, you weren't sure about the Buccaneers. They were up and down and suffered some tough losses, but they had put together the great December and the momentum heading into the postseason, the big win in Green Bay, and went on to win the Super Bowl. So I think you certainly have to consider them one of the contenders this year with everybody back, and never doubt Tom Brady. Despite his age, and should be a lot of fun to watch.
And do you just think, Kenny, flat out, they're going to be a better team because they do have a full season under their belt and, of course, a championship?
Yeah, they could be. And you know, a year under their belt in the system with Brady, you know, the receivers with Brady, the offensive line. So wouldn't be surprised if it was even a better, you know, when it comes to playoff time, there's so much that goes into it. You know, who you play, when you play them, where you play. But at least over the course of the regular season, if they stay healthy, I think there's no reason why they can't be as good or better than last year.
Give me one or two teams that you are intrigued to see in the early part of the season. Teams that you think, you know, have a chance to be good and potentially Super Bowl contenders, but need to prove it on the field.
Well, that's a good question. You know, going into week one, you look at every matchup, and they're all so exciting because it's a clean slate. I happen to have the Indianapolis Colts the first 2 weeks, and you mentioned injuries and Carson Wentz coming back. It sounds like he's going to play. The initial reports were that he would not be available early in the season. They were a playoff team last year with Phillip Rivers, and now they bring in Wentz. And, you know, he has some great weapons around him, although T.Y. Hilton's out for the first couple of weeks. Intrigued to see the Rams next week with Matthew Stafford as their new quarterback. I have the Giants and the Falcons week three. They'll be retiring Eli Manning's number. I think the NFC East will be so intriguing. Every team finished under 500 last year. You had Washington making the playoffs with 7 wins. The Giants in their second season under their new head coach, Joe Judge. Second season in Dallas under Mike McCarthy. And then Washington and Philadelphia, Philly with a new head coach. I think a player to watch, I live here in the New York, New Jersey area, Zach Wilson, the Jets quarterback. I haven't seen him in person, but so intriguing to read about him and what people think that you know, he can accomplish in the league. So much excitement in Buffalo, the Bills, with what they did last year. I worked the preseason with Joe Theismann, and he thinks the Bills are the team to beat in the AFC. So obviously you have Kansas City, who might have a thing or two to say about that, and a number of other terrific teams, but exciting things happening up in Buffalo.
Well, not to be mentioned, Kenny, I guess is one whole division, but overall the Steelers and the Ravens, in particular with the Ravens, is this kind of a good thing to maybe be under the radar for Lamar Jackson and for Ben Roethlisberger?
You know, that'll be an intriguing division as well, and J.K. Dobbins, the starting running back for the Ravens, unfortunately out for the season, suffered the ACL injury in the preseason game against Washington. Roethlisberger looking to bounce back. Two terrific head coaches in Mike Tomlin and John Harbaugh. You look around that division, you know, Cleveland, Cincinnati, that just might be the strongest division in the entire league. There should be some great battles between those teams.
All right, before we let you go, I did want to touch quickly on, because we know that you know, football is America's passion, but we know that your passion is hockey, which is what we love up here as well. You're taking on a new job, a new role. Tell us kind of what you look forward to once the hockey season rolls around.
Well, certainly excited with the NHL season getting underway in just over a month, and as you guys and most of the listeners probably know, the national rights in the United States have transferred over. NBC, I'm biased, but did an unbelievable job over the last 16 years with some of the greatest announcers in the game's history, Doc Emrick and Eddie Olchek, Pierre Maguire, Brian Boucher, Joe Micheletti, right on down the line. And, you know, the implementation of the inside the glass position, which created about 40 jobs around the league. There are a lot of people who should thank Sam Flood and Pierre Maguire, because it created so many jobs in every market and every network. You know, the implementation of the Winter Classic and the outdoor games, which have done so much for the league and the fans. So 16 years, the NHL and NBC deserves an A-plus, in my opinion. And now the rights shift over to Turner and ESPN, and I couldn't be more excited, along with Eddie Olchek and Keith Jones and many others, to be headed to Turner Sports. And our schedule should be out pretty soon, and just can't wait. Can't wait to get started.
And also, Kenny, just thoughts on the New York Rangers and the changes under Drury, and any Eichel rumors still circulating around?
Not as much over the last couple of weeks. There certainly were, you know, a bunch of articles in the local and national media. I had a chance to chat with Chris Drury for a couple of minutes the other day, unfortunately, at Roger Bear's memorial service, the all-time great Ranger, leading scorer in franchise history, and just a tremendous gentleman who was beloved in New York. So ran into many of the Ranger alumni and management at the service the other night. It's an exciting time to be a Ranger fan, to be a member of the Rangers broadcast crew. You know, since 2018, when they sent out a letter to their fans talking about, they never called it a rebuild, it was a build. And in my opinion, you know, they've made steady progress each year. You know, when you look at the seasons that Artemi Panarin and Mika Zibanejad and Ryan Strome and Adam Fox have put together over the last 2 years, acquiring so many draft picks and assets and some of the first-round picks who we've seen on the Rangers the last few years, whether it's Philip Hedl or Kaapo Kakko, Alexi Lafreniere, Keandre Miller, Vitali Kravtsov. That's five right there, five first-round picks over the last 3 or 4 years, and they'll all be in the fold this year, and a new coaching staff, and a good mix of veterans and young players. So, like I said, you know, they missed the playoffs the last 3 years, but a lot to be excited about if you're a New York Rangers fan.
All right, and we don't even have time to ask about your favorite team, the Vancouver Canucks. We'll leave that for another day. But really appreciate the time. Safe travels to Indy. I know you, like everybody else, looking forward to the new NFL season. Look forward to watching you with your call from the Colts and the Seahawks coming up on Sunday. Thanks for the time this morning.
All right, thanks, JR. Thanks, Ever.
All right, there's Kenny Albert joining us on the Gabriel Pizza Hotline. Gabriel Pizza, the bigger, better pizza. Order online at GabrielPizza.com.
Yeah, and interesting times for the Rangers for the broadcast. And I'm assuming, did Mr. Boucher go to TNT as well, Jer? Or?
He went to ESPN,
oh, he did.
I
okay.
believe.
Okay.
Yeah, so
okay.
It's Eddie O and Kenny that'll be doing the Turner games as the lead play-by-play crew. And I think Brian Boucher has gone to ESPN, and they're using... I think Sean McDonough and a couple of their current broadcasters to do the games. Okay. Gapping on the other name.
Yeah.
I did want to sort of circle back, and Kenny brought up the fact that he's intrigued to see the Colts. He's going to have the Colts games.
Yeah.
This whole Carson Wentz thing, and not just from Carson Wentz being coming off an historically bad year in Philadelphia last year and going to a team which made the playoffs and everybody sees as a good team.
Yeah.
It's not that. It's the story of the non-vaccination status of Carson Wentz. And this is very intriguing to me. And this is not to comment on whether you believe in vaccinations or not.
Yeah.
This
yeah.
is to say that the NFL policy on vaccinated and unvaccinated players, essentially, if you're a vaccinated player, you can, it's the rules like they were before the pandemic.
Yeah.
You can kind of come and go as you are. As I think Kenny said, you get tested once a week.
Yeah.
So it's relatively the same.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you're an unvax, and if you test, and if you still contract the virus, which you can when you're double vaccinated, it is still possible. But even if you have a positive test, which can sometimes be a positive, negative, or negative, whatever it is, you can, with two negative tests, immediately rejoin the team.
Okay.
So you presumably could potentially not miss any time. If you are an unvaccinated player, first of all, if you have an exposure to a positive test, it's 5 days you're out of the building. If you yourself test positive, it's a minimum 10 days as an unvaccinated player. Think about the importance of the quarterback to an NFL team, and you have a quarterback for a playoff contender who is an unvaccinated player. Well, he's been asked, and he has not answered the question, which everybody presumes to mean he is unvaccinated.
Yeah, yeah.
The proliferation of the Delta variant and how widespread it is across the world right now, how easy it is to contract. You know, the Indianapolis Colts could be looking at their quarterback missing time, missing, depending on when he tests positive, if he did, two games.
Yeah.
Think about that.
Yeah.
Like that, the impact that that would have.
Yeah, and not to mention, JR already had a foot injury. I mean, God, the guy's been hurt his whole career. You're worried enough about that and then wondering, hey, what's going to happen? So, yeah. Now, from the standpoint, JR, if you get COVID as well, are you docked the pay?
I don't know.
It sure felt like it, though, did it not? Because if they say, hey, if you got to forfeit a game, you're not going to get a game check. I assume if you get it and you're non-vaccinated, I'd be shocked if they're paying you. But whatever it is, hey, as you said, that's got to make. And again, would you agree that I don't even know he placed the potential, but if they get very good quarterbacking, they have a hell of a team, do they not?
Sure.
Yeah, yeah. So that is, as a fan,
I mean, one game can be the difference between making and not making the playoffs
in
the NFL.
And I'm assuming the move to take him would have been divided in the fan base anyway, right? Half the fan base would have said, are you kidding me? And the money he makes, he's injured all the time. And then the rest is like, hey, we need somebody. And then, as you said, the other thing, man, you get going on a pretty good season and he either gets injured or tests positive. Yeah, it's just a tough territory to go in.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, thoughts on any of that and what Kenny had to say? Always welcome. Text us at 12-1200. Tweet at us at TSN1200. Again, we've got the opener tonight, Cowboys and the Buccaneers, and we got you covered all season long. Once again this year, proud to say TSN1200 will be your home of the National Football League. All right, we'll take a break. Come back with a fourth and final hour before we turn things over to the Steves. And Kenny Walls within the box coming up after 10 o'clock this morning. It is Lee, and Graham Creech sits in for AJ, who is off early, taking off for BC today. He'll have, of course, the Lions and the Red Blacks coming up Saturday night here on TSN 1200. And then we'll have women's tennis semifinal for you tonight at 7. Yes, tennis on your radio. The radio play-by-play call of Leila Annie Fernandez, the Canadian phenom, in her semifinal matchup. That goes tonight at 7. When that one's over, we'll take you to Tampa for Game 1 of the NFL, the Bucks and the Cowboys. That's all straight ahead today, right here on TSN 1200.